know, today, a lot of focus on gay marriage and on the flag, and not the same amount of focus on raising minimum wage for working poor people, are adequately funding America's public education system, providing security for our seniors, or ending the war in Iraq. These are the issues of substance.
That's the Reverend Jesse Jackson speaking last week in Dallas at the National Conference and Revival for Social Justice in the Black Church. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Sunday night, July the 2nd. Tonight we talk about Christianity and culture. Now, you will always find someone in the political arena who is doing their best to attach Christ to their political views, to their agenda. Was Jesus a Republican, a Democrat, a capitalist, a communist? What about education? Can Scripture be mined for Christian positions on how the secularized university ought to be dealt with, or sexual ethics, or culture and entertainment? We're going to talk about all of that tonight on Issues Etc., Christianity and culture as they meet. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The listeners with the best questions and comments tonight will receive a great book. It's called Reasonable Ethics, written by our guest tonight, Dr. Robert Benny. 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Robert Benny is Professor Emeritus of Religion and Director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College. He's author of the book Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns. Dr. Benny, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be back with you again, Todd.
You actually began, or I should say, you actually spent the better part of your early career, both as an educator and as a thinker, well, kind of at the center of the religious left. Tell us your story.
Well, it's a long story, but we'll try to keep it short. I was educated at the University of Chicago Divinity School in the early 60s, which were before the great cataclysmic events of the later 60s, and I would characterize that era as idealistic, liberal idealism, and I was certainly a part of that in my studies and my involvements and activities, and as a young professor. And a good deal of the content or substance of that was that the church was in the forefront of the transformation of American society in struggling against racism, against poverty, and against the degradation of the inner cities. And there's a great deal of confidence and enthusiasm that the church could become the instrument of these great struggles that would lead in toward victory. And it was a very heady era, and I got caught up in it, and I believed at that particular era that the main mission of the church was to transform society along the ways that we were engaged in, which were very optimistic. But then terrible things happened in the late 60s, or at least from my point of view, a lot of terrible things happened, and the urban idealism or the liberal idealism of the early 60s turned into black power. On the one hand, instead of civil rights, it was black power. It was the anti-war movement. Instead of a patriotic movement, it was actually against America in many ways, and it caused one to rethink, number one, where one was at politically. But secondly, and more importantly for me, what the main mission of the church was. And I'd say on the first issue, I began to rethink things that led me in a more conservative direction, politically and economically. But on the second issue, which was far more important, I think, for me, it drove me back to what I think the central mission of the church is, and not to follow after the kind of social ethical implications of the gospel, but rather the central mission of the church is the gospel itself, the proclamation of law and gospel. So important things happened in the late 60s where one was forced to clarify oneself. And I came out of the 60s, which I consider to be 65 to 75, came out of the 60s as a political economic conservative, but then as a more fervent Christian believing in the central tenets, the central claims of the gospel, which I call the flaming center, right in the middle of things. So it was a transformation that was very important for me.
So very briefly on this, if you started out in the religious left, would you consider yourself now a card-carrying member of the religious right?
Well, I consider myself a conservative, and often people think of the religious right as some sort of fundamentalist congeree of irrational people, and so most anybody would shy away from being labeled as the religious right, but I certainly am a social and political conservative and a religious conservative, but I would want to distinguish very sharply between the political conservatism and the economic conservatism and the social conservatism and religious conservatism, on the other hand. That is, I believe one can be a religious conservative, believe the classic tenets of the gospel, the classic tenets of the Christian faith, and be a political liberal and be a political conservative. That is, there's no direct line between the central affirmations of the Christian faith and political, economic, and social positions.
One of the things that you write about is that came crystal clear for you in your transformation from the religious left is a better understanding of that relationship between Christianity and culture. In particular, Scripture's teaching on what Luther would have called a two-kingdom theology. Explain that, Dr. Benny, and what difference did it make for you?
Well, I think liberal Protestantism is the offshoot of Reformed Christianity, and classic Reformed Christianity wouldn't make the same mistakes as liberal Protestantism has made. But Reformed Christianity and liberal Christianity is very focused on the transformation of the society toward the kingdom of God, and this has been a theme in American Christianity for a long time. Whereas Lutherans have never believed that society could be transformed in the fashion and to the extent that Calvinists have believed. Lutherans have believed that God reigns with his left hand, the kingdom of the earth, and that kingdom is governed by God's left hand, which involves power and coercion and conflict. And yet Christians are also reigned by governed by the right hand of God, those Christians who receive the gospel and live according to the gospel. So we live in two different spheres simultaneously, before God and in the midst of our fellow human beings. And Lutherans have always believed that that left-hand kingdom is a fallen kingdom. It's the kingdom in which God contends against the devil and Satan and all his works and ways, which manifest themselves in social, political, and economic life. And that there's a skepticism in the Lutheran tradition that left-hand kingdom can ever be transformed completely toward the kingdom of God in this era. So part of my, quote, growing up, unquote, was to realize that the liberal Protestantism that I was so excited about was basically illusion, and that the main and proper task of the church was the proclamation of the gospel. And the effects of that gospel would be important and positive on the society, but probably not transformative.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about politics. Was Jesus a Republican or a Democrat or something else? And does the U.S., as many Christians in the U.S. believe, does the U.S. have most favored nation status with God? Going to answer some of those questions tonight as we talk about Christianity and culture, coming to you on this holiday weekend, July the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Robert Benny is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Religion and Director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College, author of the book, Reasonable Ethics. Now, the best callers will get Dr. Benny's book, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Benny had mentioned the two-kingdom theology of Scripture, that God rules in the civil realm through human agency. And there he uses those tools that are also familiar to us as citizens in this world. He uses reason and he uses force, human government. But within his right-hand kingdom, and the Christians occupy both at the same time, in his right-hand kingdom, God rules by the forgiveness of sins, through the mercy that he won for us at the cross, by his Son Jesus Christ, our sacrifice for sins. God rules in both kingdoms, make no mistake, but to different ends and through different means. We're going to talk about that left-hand kingdom and the Christian in it, politics, when we come back. Christians think of themselves as students of the Scripture, God's Word. Read through the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. It's full of the names of cities, rivers, mountains, plains. Where were these places? How does a better understanding of the geography of the Holy Land aid Christians as students of Scripture? Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, is an easy-to-read reference on the geography of Israel. It's called The Land of Milk and Honey. For more information about this book, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website and find our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, The Land of Milk and Honey, An Introduction to the Geography of Israel. That's issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't feel that way about you.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, responding to the idea that the AIDS crisis is self-inflicted and Christians need not respond in love.
Look, you reap what you sow. You're a sinner. You're damned to hell. Go rot. That's not Jesus. And the Bible doesn't tell us, Jesus says, you made your bed, now lie in it. I'm not going to help. So it's an impossible response for a Christian, even though we know that actions have consequences. But consequences, those consequences don't kill mercy and don't kill a proclamation of the law in order to bring the gospel.
Find LCMS World Relief at our homepage, issuesetc.org, Christ-centered, cross-focused, love for the neighbor. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss the secularization of the church. Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn will be our guest. American evangelicals often complain that God has been removed from the public square, but how has the church's preaching, teaching, worship, and even its architecture become secularized? We'll talk about it next week on Issues, Etc. with Mike Horton. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of July, just click the upcoming show section of our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at our homepage, be sure to find out about the continuing education programs offered this summer for both lay people and professional church workers by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You'll have an opportunity to learn firsthand from the faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Just look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary, area code 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241. We're talking about Christianity and culture tonight on Issues, Etc. Dr. Robert Benny is our guest. Dr. Benny, let's talk about those political concerns which Christians are rightly apply themselves. Was Jesus a Republican or a Democrat?
Well, of course he was neither. He was the Son of God who brought a message saving action of the world that broke all the bounds of political categories. So it's certainly a mistake to connect him directly with any political party, any political philosophy.
Then does the U.S. as a nation have a most favored nation status with God, as many Christians either explicitly or implicitly seem to believe?
Well, that's a tricky question, because I believe every nation has a calling by God in this era, in this epoch. The nation state's a very important entity. So I think God is involved in every nation's destiny and every nation's work and action and history. And because America is so large and powerful, it would be ridiculous not to think of America's, in some sense, part of God's economy in the world. So I do believe that America has a specific calling, but as Israel, that doesn't mean favor or blessings, but particular obligations. So being called or having a particular mission in the world is not just an easy thing or one that brings forth glory and honor and blessing, but it has a particular set of obligations.
But would that that calling, that role to play in the world here and now, where America occupies such a prominent place, differ essentially in God, vis-a-vis God, from, say, the Roman Empire, its time, when it was powerful and prominent, or any other empires that have come and gone during their power and prominence?
Well, certainly would be different than the history of Israel, because Israel is called finally to be the great root from which the stem of Jesse came, from which Jesus came. So Israel is part of a holy history and part of the calling that finally resulted in the coming of Jesus. So all other nations, it seems to me, are in what we would call earlier, as we conversed, the left-hand kingdom. None of the nations bring forth redemption like Israel did through Christ, but all of the nations have their role in the economy of God, and America has a particular calling, I think, in world history, which brings forth particular obligations.
There are issues that are soundly ethical issues, but they have, just by the very force of their the intensity with which people believe on one side or the other, political ramifications too. Let's talk about abortion and homosexuality. Are there clear scriptures, Dr. Benny, to inform the Christian and to give the Christian a position on those two issues, abortion and homosexuality, even as political issues?
Well, let's take the intra-churchly question first. Of course, there are clear teachings in the Bible and in the whole Christian tradition with regard to both abortion and homosexuality. And there isn't much of a waffling in either instance. As regards abortion, one of the things that set off the early Christians from their pagan environment was that they did not expose their children. That is, they didn't leave them out in nature to die, nor did they kill them. And this came directly from the teachings of Jesus and the tradition of the Old Testament, which every person is created in the image of God. And that abhorrence of abortion goes throughout Christian history up until the present day. So I believe that for Christians, abortion indeed would be very, very rare. And the same is with homosexuality. There's no instance in either the Old Testament or New Testament that gives any kind of moral or religious legitimation to homosexual conduct. And if one looks at Christian tradition, the same is true, that it's unanimous all throughout Christian history. So for the church's teachings, it seems to me it's clear and unequivocal. Now, when one gets in society, it's another matter, because Christians find themselves in a pluralistic society and a secular society, and there may be compromises that have to be made, but it seems to me that the Christian ethic pulls Christians to diminish abortion in every way possible and to struggle against the legitimation of homosexuality as a social practice and a civil practice.
And then with only 1 minute before our break, Dr. Benny, if Scripture is clear on those two issues at least, what about issues upon which Christians in society often opine, like for or against gun control, for or against a certain tax structure, affirmative action, or for or against the support for the modern nation state of Israel? Any clear Scripture there? 1 minute.
I don't think so. I think many of those issues are hotly contended. One could add to the list that you gave, the war in Iraq, and Christians of good conscience and intelligence, goodwill and intelligence, fall on different sides of those questions, as they would fall on different sides of the questions with regard to policy versus abortion and homosexuality. I have good Christian friends who believe we should allow for gay unions in civil society, but with regard to the teachings of the church, homosexuality and abortion are fairly clear. With regard to the other issues we've talked about, there are many steps one has to take from the Bible and the central affirmations of the Christian tradition, Christian faith, to get to considered moral judgments on those other issues. And that's where Christians often part company.
When we come back from this break, we're going to turn from our brief conversation with Dr. Benny on politics to a closely related issue, and that is economics. Well, if Jesus was neither Republican nor Democrat, if Jesus is neither Republican nor Democrat, what about his political philosophy? Some might say that Jesus was more communist than capitalist. Others would strongly contend, no, a capitalist more than a communist? We'll answer that question when we come back from this break. We're talking about Christianity and culture with Dr. Robert Benny, Professor Emeritus of Religion and Director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College. He's author of the book Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns. You can purchase Reasonable Ethics by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. The book is called Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns by our guest this evening on Issues Etc., Dr. Robert Benny. 1-800-325-3040. Or our website, issuesetc.org. Or if you're one of our callers or emailers, you can get a free copy of Reasonable Ethics by being one of our best callers or emailers. As we talk tonight with Dr. Robert Benny about Christianity and culture, our call-in number tonight, we're coming to you live this Sunday, the 2nd of July, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Larry Rast, Arthur Just, Carl Fekincher, Kurt Marquardt, Peter Scare, Cameron McKenzie.
You probably recognize these names as regular guests on Issues Etc., but what else do they have in common? Well, they're all members of the Christ-centered, cross-focused faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Dean Wenthe, Walter A. Meyer II, David Scare, Dan Gard, Charles Geeshan, Bill Weinrich.
Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call them 1-800-481-2155. Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
John Pless, Hal Senkbeil, Richard Muller, Roland Ziegler. The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christianity and culture. Dr. Robert Benny is our guest, Professor Emeritus of Religion and Director of the Center for Religion and Society at Roanoke College. He's author of the book Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns. We do have some great resources posted at our website dealing with the issue of Christianity and culture, issuesetc.org. Right under the What's New section, you'll find these helpful resources written by Issues Etc. regular guests Lawrence White, Dr. Gene Edward Veith, and Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, and several others right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Click the What's New section for these resources. We'll be responding to your email and to your phone calls for the final two segments tonight. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Benny, let's turn to economics, which is a kissing cousin of politics. The two are always intertwined in some way. If Jesus was neither Republican nor Democrat, is Jesus a communist or a capitalist? Where does he fall on the economic spectrum?
Well, most religious intellectuals would say that Jesus' teaching leads towards some sort of socialism. And, of course, someone as distinguished as Paul Tillich said the economics of the Christian faith is socialism. But here's where it gets a little more complex. We want to fall back a little bit on the Lutheran doctrine of the two kingdoms, because economics is par excellence an activity of the left-hand kingdom that has to take place in a world that's fallen, that's a world that's finite. And if one would take the teachings directly of Jesus, of concern for the poor, of equality, of concern for the oppressed, that it seems directly to lead towards socialism, in which the government would parcel things out in an equitable manner. But as the world has learned, socialist regimes tend not to be very efficient economically, tend often to be unjust in terms of distribution. The government figures get most of the pie, and they tend to move toward oppressive political arrangements over the long run. So the case for market or capitalism is a much more subtle case having to do with the left-hand kingdom. So I wrote a book called The Ethic of Democratic Capitalism, Memorial Reassessment, in which I argued that market economic arrangements, capitalism, in combination with democracy, was actually the best combination. And this was distinctly in contrast to what many of my intellectual friends were writing, who thought that socialism was certainly the direct offshoot of the Christian ethic. But I do not think that's the case. I do think the Christian ethic would humanize and expand and enlist a search for a more tempered justice in a capitalist system. But I believe a capitalist system is probably the best we can do on Earth. It may be horrible, but it's the best we can do.
So you're really making an argument about the lesser of evils when it comes to an economic or a political system, and not trying to say Jesus was a market capitalist.
Simply
applying reason here and saying, look, given what Scripture and Christ clearly teach about concern for the poor and about the role of government and such, here is the least of all damaging systems we can adopt.
Yes,
and remain consistent Christians.
Right, not only a negative one, but there are some positive virtues about capitalism. One is that it produces a lot of wealth and distributes it fairly widely, not evenly, but as it develops, it lifts many, many boats. A rising tide lifts many boats. Secondly, it makes the economic decisions of society in a kind of a self-regulating manner, so that the state doesn't have to be omnicompetent and all-powerful. And thirdly, it allows a lot of freedom to dispose of that wealth on the part of citizens and groups. So churches and colleges are great beneficiaries of the freedom that we have under capitalism to not only move beyond subsistence as wage earners, but to direct some of our wealth to the church, to issues, etc.
Well, that's nice. I didn't expect
right?
that one.
You just wanted some of that discretionary money for issues, et cetera.
Okay, folks, do you agree or disagree with Dr. Benny? Do you believe that Jesus was a communist or a capitalist, a Republican or a Democrat? Give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We are giving away Dr. Benny's book, Reasonable Ethics, to listeners with the best questions or comments. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, we all know, Dr. Benny, that the sexual revolution has influenced the secular culture. But how has it influenced the Christian church? And if you would, use your own church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, as an example of the influence of the sexual revolution on a mainline Christian denomination.
Well, certainly of the great upheavals of the 60s, perhaps the sexual revolution is one of the long-lasting in terms of impact and extensity. So the culture has been very, very dramatically affected by the sexual revolutions of the late 60s and into the 70s. And churches who are pretty comfortable in the culture tend to accommodate to that culture more and more. So I believe the mainline Protestant denominations, affluent, middle class, comfortable in America, have tended to accommodate to the changing sexual mores and ethics that was wrought by the revolution of the 60s. And so if you took my own church, the ELCA, directly, the emphasis primarily by the feminist movement, a woman's right to choose, has affected the church pretty dramatically in its rather permissive stance on abortion. The church has not carefully developed a program of sexual education, which in a simple fashion would say true love waits. It has not done that, although I think it would hold basically a traditional ethic. I would guess that there's not a strong argument against cohabitation, and that people within the ELCA would find their sons and daughters pretty well engaged in that without a whole lot of consternation on their part. And certainly in the great wars on homosexuality, the church has tended to adopt to the secular elite values and attitudes towards homosexuality, and finally has adopted a position which is very permissive toward homosexuality. Homosexual conduct would be a better way of talking about it.
Let's go to the phones and to some of our email here. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's start with Martin, who's listening in Detroit on WDTK. Hi, Martin. Thanks for being patient. Welcome to Issues Etc. Well,
thank you for taking the call. I'm wondering if your guest would subscribe to the position of accepting the market economy restrained by biblical concerns?
All right. Thank you very much. It's a good question. Does that fairly well summarize what you think is the best system?
Yes, I think so. I would say the biblical concerns then are taken by the church into kind of a Christian ethical set of principles, and so that what that would lead in an American system, for example, would be concern for a safety net. There are always people in a society and an economy who cannot contribute to it. So we think of the mentally handicapped, those who are damaged in some serious fashion. And, of course, it would be a Christian thing to do to care for them. Now, one could argue that one should leave that up to private charities, and certainly their private charities do a lot in America to take care of people like that. But I would think you could argue it from a Christian point of view that it's a matter of justice to provide some safety net for people who cannot contribute to the economy and therefore have not gotten much out of the economy. So there are poor elderly people, for example. There are the handicapped. There are others severely emotionally damaged that cannot contribute to the economy. So a biblical point of view or a Christian ethical point of view would insist that justice takes care of these cases within our society. I think he's right.
A phone call real quickly here before our break, and we'll get Dr. Benny's response on the other side of the break. Let's talk with Darren in Milwaukee, where he listens on WRRD. Hi, Darren.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, what is your guest's opinion about having a savings account or saving for retirement?
And why do you ask that, Darren?
Well, I read some Christian literature that says we should not have those, but give our money away, use it for the church and society. So
right.
I'm just kind of curious what your guest has to say.
Darren, thank you very much. It's a good question. I think there's time for a brief beginning of a response, Dr. Benny, before we take our break. How would you respond to Darren's question about savings?
Well, it is a good question because Jesus seems to tell us to take no thought for the morrow, which would sound like we should just not care for the morrow at all by savings accounts or pension funds or whatever. But it seems to me that Christians, live in a world in which we have callings different or callings that require us to be prudential and to care for the future. So, for example, we are placed in a calling to care for our families. And that means that we have to be prudent and we have to care for them. And often that means savings. If we want to send our children to college, we need to do that. So I think, and I'm talking as a Lutheran here, that the Lord has placed us in various responsibilities in life.
Well, let's take that up on the other side of the break, because that's a key understanding for this two-kingdom theology. The places God puts us in our lives. We'll get the rest of Dr. Benny's response to our caller after this. Theology for mercy. What does it mean to be a Lutheran in social ministry? The church is a mercy place. Theological reflections on confessional Lutheran involvement in neighborhood renewal. These are just some of the free resources offered by LCMS World Relief. You can get your copy of these booklets and more resources by calling LCMS World Relief 1-800-248-1930 and ask for LCMS World Relief. Or just look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. An international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. For free resources, call 1-800-248-1930, 1-800-248-1930, and ask for LCMS World Relief. They'll not only send you free booklets, but also a free video titled Making a World of Difference and Pastor Matt Harrison's Sharing and Caring newsletters.
1-800-248-1930, LCMS World Relief.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172, or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc. Well, there's no doubt about it. While Jesus tells us the poor you will always have with you, he is quite adamant that the poor should be our constant concern. Let me tell you about a relief agency that's concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. They're providing relief after tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, and other natural disasters, and in places like the Sudan, Kenya, and other third world countries. For more information on LCMS World Relief, look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by calling LCMS World Relief toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, LCMS World Relief. Dr. Benny, before the break, Darren was on the line asking about Christians saving their money, and the beginning of your response put the Christian in his vocation. You didn't use that term, but I think that's the term you were probably thinking of. His station in life, as Luther would say. Why are those stations in life, those lifelong responsibilities, so important in answering that question about whether Christians ought to buy insurance or save their money or put money away toward retirement or toward a nest egg for their kids?
Well, because they locate one in a nexus of responsibilities, a network in which one is responsible for more than oneself. So one has to think more broadly and take responsibility in the long run and in a larger context for persons that are you are responsible to and for. So it's no simple matter just to disperse one's wealth. When you were advertising just a moment ago for Issues, Etc., that assumes that people not only have made a little bit more money than they need to subsist, but that they've saved it and that they can parcel it out in some rational fashion according to Christian values. So all of those things indicate that if we are to take responsibility for a long-term mission in life, a calling in life, we have to be prudent about our money. But we also, because we've been able to be productive, been able to save some, we've also been able to give more.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. John listens on the Internet in Colorado. John, thanks for being patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Oh, thanks, Pastor Wilkin, and hi to Dr. Benny. It's great. I've been listening. It's my first time calling. I've been listening for about 3 years on the web. So
thanks, John.
Healthy radio addiction.
Good.
I had kind of a two-point comment I'll do quick, and then I also had a question, which kind of goes into 2 points. But my comment is that I think because of our heritage and our respect and the long-lasting traditions that are in Lutheranism, and our views towards things like sola scriptura, we aren't as the wind blows on other things in the culture, which I think adds to the reason why most of the Lutherans that you know are conservative, is because of the nature of our worship. I think because we see our life as a witness, and so therefore we're called to do things like sharing, and that's why I don't think Jesus was socialist he tells us that we need to share us, but he also tells us that he will provide us with things. So I don't think he means us to live in shacks and be in a soup line for 2 hours.
And then the second part of your comment, John?
And then the second part was it kind of interesting. It hit towards the question, which is that it's interesting how we would take that and then say other Protestants would take that by Israel and believing that the reason why they should get involved with conservative politics is because they can either help in, like in the war in Iraq with Israel, or they believe that God calls them to be politically active to change those things, like for abortion. We all are against abortion, but they're very active about that because they think by doing that, that becomes a nation of God. But my question then is, why do you think it is a cultural difference between, if you will, liberal and conservative or Protestant reformers on liturgy and history? I've got a lot of Christian friends of different denominations who we all view the same thing. We all understand the importance of the war in Iraq. We are conservative when it comes to money and all this, but when it comes to liturgy and things like in worship and all that, why is there some differences on that, if you could expand?
Well, that's a brilliant question, and I imagine it is a question too big even for the considerable abilities of our guest to answer in full. But take your best stab at it, Dr. Benny. Why Christians will agree on the social, moral, political issues, and then when it comes to Sunday morning, they're all over the map.
It's usually reversed, right? There's a lot of disagreement of Christians on these social ethical issues, political issues, but there seems to be a common agreement on basic things on Sunday morning. Well, I would tend to argue that what I just said is true. C.S. Lewis wrote this wonderful book, Mere Christianity, and now N.T. Wright, a great biblical scholar, Bishop of Durham, has written a book called Simply Christian. And what they both try to do is define and articulate the central factors, the central beliefs of the Christian faith. And I would guess from church to church, those are very, very stable, very, very held in common. Now, Lutherans have a doctrine called adiaphoron, which means indifferent, but it doesn't really mean indifferent in the sense that it doesn't matter. It means that there are a lot of things having to do with the church and its life that can be held and practiced differently. It doesn't have to be uniform. So, for example, liturgies are adiaphoron. That is, it's good to have a good liturgy or a good practice of worship, but they vary from church to church, and they don't define what is essential to the church. Lutherans have always felt that two things are essential for the church. That is the proclamation of the gospel, the word of God, and the proper administration of the sacraments. So beyond that, there can be a lot of pluralism and a lot of plurality, and there is among Lutheran churches. So I think at the core of things, most Christians would agree at these adiaphora questions, there'd be a lot of plurality that we can tolerate and perhaps even celebrate among ourselves.
John, you might want to tune in next week to our interview here on Issues Etc. with Dr. Mike Horton on the secularization of the church, and we might get an even more full answer to your very good question there. And thank you for listening out in Colorado on the Internet. Dr. Benny, as a final way of wrapping up this hour with you, where do both the religious and left and the religious right fall short as they try to address the nexus of Christianity and the culture, both the religious left and the religious right?
Well, I think both the religious left and the religious right tend to too easily draw straight lines from the central affirmation of the Christian faith to particular political, social philosophies and then political or public policies. I often hear our friend in Lynchburg here, whose name is escaping me for that, Jerry Falwell, and often he will talk about the main proclaim, he will preach the main themes of the gospel, and then in a flash we'll move toward what person one ought to vote for. And I think that's a mistake, and I think the left does the same sort of thing. It may do it more subtly, but the left has a much longer history of doing this sort of thing, of fusing too closely public policy positions and the central affirmations of the Christian faith. So I think both of them make that mistake.
We had a caller earlier from Detroit, Martin. Martin, give us a call back, and we're going to send you Dr. Benny's book called Reasonable Ethics. 1-800-737-0172 is the number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our next Issues Etc. journal. Or you can also use that number to join our monthly donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. 1-800-737-0172. Or you can write us at Issues Etc. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. The Christian lives simultaneously. In attention, there's no doubt about that. It is not only attention, it is sometimes for the Christian a downright paradox. As a citizen of the kingdom of God that is broken in from the future here into this world, we call this the Christian church, where God rules graciously and mercifully with us sinners and deals with us by the forgiveness of sins through his Son, Jesus Christ, where God mercifully preaches the law to us sinners that shows us our need of Jesus and of his sacrifice at the cross, and then comforts us and sustains us, the whole church and each individual's Christians, with that message of the gospel, Christ's finished sacrifice. Where God rules this way, there is nothing but forgiveness for repentant sinners. And he rules so that we might share a citizenship for which we were originally created, a citizenship that is not in this world, but is in the world to come. In the left-hand kingdom, God rules us Christians. He rules differently by different tools. With reason and force, through human agency, and the rule, because it is mediated by human agencies, is far from perfect. It's a world of compromise and of difficult choices, ethical choices. This is why the Christian, living at the same time in both kingdoms, sets his eyes upon the kingdom that is to come, wrought by Jesus Christ, and yet lives diligently and earnestly in this kingdom in service of his neighbor, for Christ's sake. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.